اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس ضرب مثل فاستمعوا له يا أيها الناس ضرب مثل فاستمعوا له إن الذين تدعون من دون الله لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له وإن يسلبهم الذباب شيئا ضعف الطالب والمطلوب. ما قدر الله حق قدره إن الله لقوي عزيز. الله يصطفي من الملائكة رسلا ومن الناس إن الله سميع بصير. إن الله سميع بصير يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم وإلى الله ترجع الأمور. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون. لعلكم تفلحون. وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده واجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج وجاهدوا ملة أبيكم إبراهيم وسماكم المسلمين من قبل وفي هذا ليكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم وتكونوا شهداء ملة أبيكم إبراهيم هو سماكم المسلمين من قبل وفي هذا ليكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم وتكونوا شهداء فأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واعتصموا بالله هو مولاكم فأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واعتصموا بالله هو مولاكم فنعم المولى ونعم النصير. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، وَلَعْنَتُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْدَائِهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَىٰ قِيَامِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We have received very sad news that one of our prominent community members, Sister Anna, is in critical condition. I haven't heard anything since this morning. This was the condition this morning, and while we should be, and we, inshallah, with the help of Allah, are pleased with whatever He grants, and we know that whatever He gives believers is for their good, and He is the All-Merciful, as per His command, we plead to Him, we beg Him, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, by the right of Fatimatu Zahra, Salamullahi alayha, by the right of her children, the moments that they were losing their mother, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of these ma'asumeen, to return Sister Anna to our community, to her family, to her children, to her husband, to the rest of her family. And I encourage all, we had mentioned some of the community members in on a text message, to have a nadr. One of the things we learn from the Quran, from the Ahlul Bayt, is to have nadr. Nadr is to pledge to Allah that if He grants a certain blessing, that we perform a certain worship for Him. The nadr that I'm speaking of in the Qur'an, learning from the Ahlul Bayt, is in Surah Al-Insan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Ahlul Bayt as abrar, and suggests that the element that He mentions is yufuna bin nadr. They stay true to their nadr. They made a pledge. They fulfilled it, and they fulfilled it in the best way, which was that when Hasanain salamullah alayhima got better, they fasted for 3 days. That was their pledge, and so they were true to it. They fasted. Allah tested them by sending someone to ask them for food, and they granted their only meal that they had. And then the next day, that didn't stop them from fasting. They fasted the second day, and as weak as they had become without food and simply having water, again on the second day He sent another person to ask for their food, and they granted him that food as well. And on the third day, similarly, until these verses were revealed, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, we learn from that to make a pledge. Our collective want and wish to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for Sister Anna to have full recovery soon, tonight even, and return to her family. We pledge, encouraged, and I think some of us did, that collectively we'll do 14,000 salawat. And the number 14 comes from the 14 ma'asumeen, multiplied by 1,000 for each of the ma'asumeen, with the intention of Fatima al-Zahra in mind for all of it. We pledge that we will give that and we will perform that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants this wish and this request of ours. I would encourage, this was something general, each of us, without necessarily needing to inform the other, can perform and can have our own individual nuzurat. We can have different nadr. Each of us can see what they can offer and what they would like to pledge. And know, besides the blessing, inshallah, all these du'as, all these pledges to Allah, helping Sister Anna to come back to the community and to her family, besides that great blessing that is intended, there are further blessings that all of us, all the families involved, all the people who pledge, will be able to attain through that nadr. So inshallah, we ask again, and we recite Amman Yujib inshallah 5 times right now. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Amman yujibul mudtarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. Inshallah, we hope that we get the good news sooner rather than later, that she has recovered completely and she's back at home and she's able to be with her family and with the community, inshallah. I would like to go over some of the points mentioned in that page of the Quran that was recited at the beginning of the session. The first point that is mentioned, the first verse that starts with Ya Ayyuhan Nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses people. These are important reminders. We need to remind ourselves. I need to be reminded of this. We neglect these facts, these truths. It says, Ya ayyuhan nas, ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. A parable, an example, something to make you understand a deep and important and fundamental truth is given. Listen to it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لا يخلقون ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له. Those you call other than Allah, whoever it is, this is nas referring to believers, non-believers. As believers, we do call upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do rely on others. Unfortunately, it's not, faith dictates that we don't. But fact is, although we do have faith, we do have iman, it's weak. It's on its lower levels. And so while we believe in Allah, we say He is the only God, He is the only one that is capable of doing things, but we still actually consider other things as able and capable of doing things for us, and therefore we call upon them. It says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. The ones you call upon other than Allah, لا يخلقون ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له. They cannot. This is a verse of the Quran for anyone that has any doubts that perhaps life can be created in the labs. God says in the Quran, if all of them gather together, they cannot create a ذباب, a fly, a house fly, one of the smallest living creatures. This isn't to say that the Quran is suggesting smaller than that is possible. This is an example, it's a mathal. They can't. This is one of the smallest things that is visible by the eye that everybody will would have come across at some point in their lives. as opposed to some of the things that not everybody is going to see and witness and have an experience with. The small creature that you see, anyone you call, they cannot create this. Even if all of them gather together, put their minds together, their technologies together, everything, they can't. Not only that, it says, وَلَوْ يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا. If I got that, let me refer to the actual. Yes, وَإِنْ يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُونَهُ مِنْهُ. This word's a little deeper. It says, if that fly takes something from them, they cannot take it back. They can't take it back from the fly. Whatever that fly, when it sits on you, takes something from you. If you want to take it from it, they can't even take that from it. Now, there's intricate matters related to that. I don't want to get into the details of that. Just take that word. That's what exactly what it means. Think about it. You can yourself come up with those intricacies and understand what this is trying to say, inshallah. Not only can they not create a fly, if that fly which is already created takes something from them, they are not able to take back what this insignificant creature has taken from them. Now, of course, these days we have an example that we have come across that not everybody is going to experience or know. It's the same, it's along the same lines. This virus, it's smaller even than a fly. If that virus takes something, then we cannot take it back from it, even if we all gather. We can't. How do we say that? It's evident all this time. We've tried. If it was something that we could do, it's our ability. Well, the moment we wanted it, it should have happened. We are not capable of doing that. God needs to give us the ability to deal with that for us to be able to deal with it. We, on our own, cannot do that as much as we would want to. And we all want to. Who doesn't want to? Who is it in the world that doesn't want to be able to deal with this virus? We can't. This is an important reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge, fully in charge, fully in charge. Not 50%, not 20%, not 80%, not even 99.9%, 100%. He's the one who's in charge. This is one point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this page. It's very important. We always need to remember that. We all always need to be reminded of it. We always need to remind ourselves of that. Don't call upon anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has nothing to do with calling upon the shufa'a that God has made shufa'a, going to a shafi' that God has made a shafi' is going to Allah and is obeying His command. That doesn't conflict with that. But to go to anyone, including those shufa'a, those who have intercession, God-given power of intercession. In other words, it's God interceding. He has appointed certain individuals as those who will intercede in this world and in the hereafter. Therefore, it is God's mercy, not other than that. If anyone goes to any of these individuals that God has appointed or otherwise and asks them, thinking, not the wording. Sometimes people ask, is it okay if I ask Amir al-Mu'mineen for things? Absolutely. How is it that you ask your child for them to bring you water? That's a form of shafa'a. If somebody understands, if you have the wisdom to analyze and understand, this is an instance of shafa'a. You're asking a child to bring you water. It's okay to ask them directly. Is that child capable of bringing water on their own? If you think so, that's against tawheed. That's shirk right there. It's a form of shafa'ah that you have turned into shirk. And unfortunately, we do a lot of that. But are we told not to? No, absolutely not. Ask that, but see that as a shafi'ah. That child cannot bring water on their own. God has given them the ability. If God wants, they're able to go to the fridge, get water, bring it to me, and it will reach me in that cup. Otherwise, it won't. Whatever obstacle that, or whatever will of God will be in regards to them being able or not being able to bring it. How is it that you're able to ask them? You can't ask Ali ibn Abi Talib for things that God has given him the ability to bring. If that child is only capable of bringing water, Ali ibn Abi Talib is capable of bringing life. Why? Did he have it of his own? Is it on his own? Is it his? No, Allah has given him. So if you call him directly and ask him directly, that doesn't go against this. The thing is, the point is, the crux of the matter is, the most important factor here is what's here and what's here. When you ask that child, if you think that child can independently bring that water, it's shirk. In the same way, if you think Ali ibn Abi Talib on his own, he has something of his own. Al-Ayyadu Billah, God forbid. And he's able to give life, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. I bite my tongue for even saying it, but just to get across the understanding that despite God not wanting it, he can give. Al-Hayyadu Billah. That is impossible. Anyone thinking it is completely wrong, and so on and so forth. Therefore, what is being said here is not that you can't ask for help from people whom God has given a certain ability, and each person and each thing you ask based on what God has given them of abilities. A child has certain abilities. A normal adult has certain abilities. Urafa have certain abilities. Prophets, Anbiya have certain abilities. Above all, the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt have certain abilities. If you ask them to grant you based on abilities that God has given them, not independently, that doesn't go against this. It is seeing that as a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the reliance isn't on Ali ibn Abi Talib. The reliance is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understanding that Ali ibn Abi Talib has nothing of himself. It is 100% God given. Nothing but that. And if I ask him, it's because God told me to ask him. Therefore it is obeying God's command, and it's tawheed in that way. It doesn't go against his commands. It's actually conforming with his commands. As well as ideologically and theologically, it does not go against tawheed. Rather, it is the manifestation of tawheed in theology. A couple of verses I'm going to skip. There's a lot of interesting points in this page. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in verse 77 of this chapter, this is, by the way, chapter Al-Hajj, a surah that's named after this ritual of Hajj. In verse 77, he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Now, the address is to the believers. He says, Irka'u wasjudu, bow and prostrate. Wa'budu rabbakum, and worship your Lord. وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ, and do good. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, maybe that you will become مُفْلِح, you will become a prosperous person. فَلَاح is prosperity, they say, in this world and in the hereafter. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, if you want prosperity in this world and the hereafter, do these things. اِرْكَعُوا, bow. The position of ruku', bowing to Allah. Wasjudu, going to the state of prostration, sujood. Although these are in prayer, okay, salat is mentioned in the last verse of this chapter, verse 78. Here it's talking about the position of ruku' and sujood. Whether in the prayer or outside of prayer, the ruku' is important. Bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This physical position of bowing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is physically helping the soul, the mind, the heart to understand that I am subordinate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a respect shown without truth to it, without it being factual. It is a fact that I have trouble understanding, I have trouble believing, I have trouble accepting in my heart, I have trouble living my life based on. We just mentioned part of that. You know, we see all these other things. We bow to them. We bow to our bosses. We bow to governments of Tawut. We bow to all these different things that we see as more powerful than us. God says, bow to Allah. Irka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum. He's your Lord. Bow to Him. Realize and recognize the truth that we are subordinate to Him. God says, do this. You need to understand you are subordinate. First in bowing, which is to lower myself because I am low, to recognize that my will is subordinate to His will. I have got to obey whatever He says. And then in sujood, it's more than that. My head is on the ground. Say, I am nothing. That physical position is supposed to help me. By repeating this, that's why it says, irka'u wasjudu, these two positions, repetition, there's no limit on it, there's no time put on it. These positions repeatedly, continuously, consistently, over time, with the right understanding, not just bending back and forth. Irka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum. You're doing your ruku' towards Allah. That's an understanding. Otherwise, physically, I'm doing it towards this wall, towards this camera, towards this whatever it is. That's what it looks like. That's what physically it is visible of it. The part that has to do with the ruku' for Allah has to do with what's in here, in my mind, in my heart. Bowing to Allah and prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then u'budu, we use the word worship. U'budu, consider myself a slave and be a slave for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's really what it means. U'budu rabbakum means become a slave. Practice slavehood for Allah. Slavehood essentially doesn't start with obedience. Slavehood essentially starts with not owning oneself and belonging to someone else. Then from that comes obedience. I don't own myself. I'm not my own being. I belong to Allah. Practice that. Become that in your heart. The reality is we are that. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That is a word of truth coming. All of us creation are only worshiping Allah. That's stating a fact, at least one of the interpretations, one of the correct interpretations of it, because there's depth, there's multi layers of interpretation of these verses. The fact is that, do that willingly with your understanding, with your heart, with your mind. Accept slavehood of Allah. Accept the fact that I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And based off of that, I obey what he says. U'budu rabbakum waf'alu al-khayr, and do good. This is suggesting obedience of Allah that was mentioned earlier. The other version of it is if'alu al-khayr. Okay, that's actually listening to that is obedience of Allah, and obedience of Allah is that. In other words, God says if'alu al-khayr, then he has identified these are good things. Do these good things. Well, doing that is because God says that's obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an instance of obedience. It's an instance of slavehood. It's being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also, whatever God says to do is khair. Whatever he says is khair, is good. Nothing that he commands to is even neutral. Not only is it not bad, it's not even neutral. It's good. So, if'alul khair, Obey whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Do the good things that God has said. Why? What's the result? What's going to happen? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ It's for you. You're going to be prosperous in this life and in the hereafter. And then an important line here. جَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ Struggle in the way of Allah. Struggle in this obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ A struggle that is worthy of Him. Which is really not attainable in the true sense of the word. This wording tells us that each of you, to whatever extent you are capable of, push yourself, constantly push yourself. If you reach a certain level of ability in terms of jihad fillah, striving and struggling in the way of Allah, fulfilling His commands, doing what He wants you, He has asked you to do, if you push yourself to a certain limit, then push yourself further and further and further and further. جَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ When it says what's worthy of His, in whatever point you reach and you think that you've done a great jihad, you look at this, you realize, حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ I haven't reached what He's worthy of. It's still deficient. Push yourself. So you're constantly going to be pushing yourself. Every time you push yourself to a limit, then you're going to push yourself to another limit, and another limit, and another limit, and it will not end. جَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ Because we can never reach حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ And it says, وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ He's the one that has selected you. He's referring to الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Believers. وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ Struggle in His way, struggle for Him. He has selected you. He has, from all the people of the world, He has selected you as a believer. وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ This is an honor that He's given you. Don't forget, don't ever forget. This is a reminder to encourage that blessing of Allah. God has given us iman. Now what are you going to do with it? Sit back, relax, not do what God has said, like, oh, I believe in Him. I'm doing a little prayer here. It says, جَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ Ruku' sujood in the physical form of it is not sufficient. جَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ Struggle, identify what He wants. Those more difficult things, push, struggle. Fight. He's the one that selected you, appointed you. Raised you. وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ When you're doing jihad fi sabilillah, when you're struggling in the way of Allah, those difficult commands against tawagheet, against evil rulers, against tyrants, against those who are sucking up the resources of the world, oppressing the people of the world, oppressing the minds, the hearts, the bodies of the people of the world, causing corruption, killing. We're supposed to fight them. That's jihad fi sabilillah, one of the greatest forms of jihad is jihad against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are standing against God's wants. God wants the people of the world to understand Him and accept Him as their Lord, for their own good, as it says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ The prosperity of the people of the world is to accept and realize that He is the Lord. And what He says is good. And we all collectively do what He says. This is what He wants for everybody to move in that direction. Tawagheet, these governments of evil, these Zionists, this establishment, before and after the elections, these are all wanting otherwise. They want their law. They want their value system. They want the whole world to accept LGBTQ. That's their value system. God says no LGBTQ. Or whatever other letter, the alphabet soup. None of that. They say, no, there is. So no, we want to explain to the people of the world, and we want the people of the world to understand these people are pushing the people of the world, spreading lies, putting things out as scientific data where it's not scientific data. It's made up. It's not factual. They do it in regards to everything, whether it's Israel or it's health matters or it's LGBTQ or it's political matters or whatever it is. They are not honest people. It's not about honesty. It's about what they want. And every mean is justified to get to the goals that they have in mind. God says, no, don't give in to that. And don't let them take other people. Don't let them take my creation. Don't let them take the innocent mustadhafin of the world in that wrong path. Well, you want to struggle against them? That's a serious jihad. When you're getting involved in that, you come to points that you feel there isn't a solution. If I want to go based on what God says, I can't proceed. God says here, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. I didn't put in this deen, this path towards prosperity, any narrow passageway that you can't pass through. I didn't do that. The instructions, the guidance is such that it's like a broad highway, a freeway that's going to take you to the right destination. Do that jihad, follow the instructions, you will see. What seems to be a narrow passage at times, what seems to have no solution, you will see there is. And there's nicer, in a sense, words. This is a general principle right here. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Very important. And then he says something really interesting for all of us to think about. مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ. This deen, this religion that you are having, the instructions that doesn't have any haraj in it, is millata abikum Ibrahim. This is the millah or the religion of your father Ibrahim. The father of Islam is considered Ibrahim. The one who brought Hajj is Ibrahim. Umrah, Ibrahim. Numerous teachings that we have in Islam, the origin is Ibrahim. The main structure and framework of Islam, the teachings, the millah that we have is Islam, is Ibrahim. Besides the principles that are divine and they have been there from before, of course, Ibrahim is the height of Tawheed. So that principle which is the foundation of all theological and practical teachings of all religions, the climax before the Prophet, the height of it, the one who represents Tawheed, is Ibrahim, Salamullah alayh. Just this deen is millata abikum. God refers to Ibrahim as our father, the father of Muslimin. Millata abikum Ibrahim, huwa sammakumul Muslimin. He called you Muslimin. Muslimin here is not a title. It never has been. We have taken it as a title. There are cases where the word is used, again, because we don't pay close attention to the wordings found in the Qur'an, we tend to misunderstand them, unfortunately. There's another time the Qur'an mentions that those who claim Amen, they say Amanna, we believe. God says to the Prophet, Qulu Aslamna, we have, they say, the translations say, or people explaining it say that you should say we have accepted Islam, we're Muslim, but Mu'min is higher than a Muslim. That's not what that is suggesting. Aslamna there means we have submitted to you, the Prophet. In other words, they gave in. Their tribes gave in to the Prophet. They submitted. Does that mean they became Muslim in the sense that we're talking about here, in the real sense of the word? And then Iman is more than Islam? No, that's not what that is. Submission to the degree they submitted. They submitted to the Prophet because they had no other choice. The Prophet was the growing movement of that region. They submitted. They لَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Iman has still not entered your hearts. You don't really believe. You just said we believe. You came in, you submitted to the Prophet. Okay, that's submission in that context is really not very deep. It doesn't really mean much. There isn't really much Iman. Islam, though, means submission And the huwa alladhi samakumul muslimina min qabl, it's Ibrahim's dua when he completed Baytullah, the Kaaba, waj'alna muslimayn laka wa min dhurriyyatina ummatan muslimah. From our children, create an ummah that is Muslim. And the first and foremost is the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, and whoever follows them. But this Islam, waj'alna muslimayn lak, Prophet Ibrahim asked for himself and Ismail to be Muslim. They're already prophets. Waj'alna, make us muslimayn. What, make us Muslim? I don't know, except the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The practices, no, they were actually told not to practice. They were supposed to practice what God gave them. Some of the details of what we have in the Islamic teachings are not there, including the form of this particular form of salah. Some of the details of that were not there, and they were supposed to go by what God gave them. So that's not what it means. Muslimain means submitting fully, absolutely, to Allah. Full submission, complete submission to Allah. So, huwa sammakumul muslimina min qabl. You who believe, he called you muslimin, you have submitted. He called you that. Wa fi hadha, why did he call you muslimina min qablu wa fi hadha? Liyakuna ar-rasul, so that Rasul, who is above all, he is the Muslim above even Ibrahim. Liyakuna ar-rasul shahidan alaykum, the Rasul, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, becomes a shahid upon you, since his Islam, his submission to Allah, is absolute above and beyond all, then he stands as a witness over all. Liyakuna ar-rasul shahidan alaykum wa takunu, and for you, those who follow the Prophet, shuhada ala nas, you being shaheed upon the people, witnesses over the people, a concept that the Quran has repeatedly mentioned. With your actions, you need to be a witness. Your actions need to represent. On one hand, they are called submission to Allah. That's in regards to the relationship that those thoughts, those worships, those actions, those words, all of that has in regards to Allah, it's submission. In regards to the people, you are a witness. Your existence, your behavior, your thoughts, your words, everything you have is a witness to the people. This is the concept of shahada. لِتَكُونُ شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. You're a shaheed over the people. Those who are not believers. Those who are believers are believers. And also, because this is gradational, since the Prophet is a shaheed over the all, over all, because he's above all, then whoever is above the rest, their form of shahada over the rest is going to be more. So amongst mu'mineen, amongst muslimin, amongst those who have believed, there are those who are above, and there are those that are below, and those who are above are shuhada over those who are below. And anyone who has accepted Islam at whatever level, they have submitted to that degree. In their heart, they have submitted to Allah. In their practice, they have submitted to a certain degree. Then to that level, over those who haven't, they are shuhada. They have the relationship of shahada. What is this? Shahada, shuhada, being a shaheed, a witness, has the connotation of a court. You bring witnesses that are going to be witnesses against someone or against a people in a court. This has to do with the day of judgment, the relationship on the day of judgment that will, of course, manifest. It's here too, but it manifests there. The believers will be a witness against the disbelievers and those who do not have this. So after saying this, جَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ, and this is the religion of Ibrahim, he called you Muslimin so that you will become shuhada. The Prophet is shuhada over all, and you all become shuhada over the people. Do all of this. And then it says, so فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so uphold the prayer. This is part of that jihad. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, uphold the prayer. not just for yourselves, not just amongst yourselves. Spread salah. Uphold prayer on the earth. Bring people to realize they also need to prostrate and bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is jihad. This is actually the essence of jihad. If we are able to remove all the tyrants of the world that are killing people and so on, and then another person comes, again, people are not praying towards Allah. Are we done with our taklif? No. When is this jihad over? When iqamatu salah happens, the whole of the earth is realizing and recognizing the truth of Allah being the Lord, and that we are subordinate to Him and bowing and prostrating to Him. Aqimu salah. Wa'atu zakah. Give zakah. The giving of it, not taking out. Atu zakah. Use zakat in the purposes that are mentioned in the Quran. The resources of the world, use them to fix up, to build, to construct, to make progress in the lives, to bring comfort to the lives of people on whatever level possible in the guidelines of Islam. Atu zakah wa'tasimu billah. In this jihad, in this struggle, in this upholding the prayer and giving that zakat, i'tasimu billah. Grab a hold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need that. You're going to feel lonely. You're going to feel abandoned. You're going to feel helpless. You're going to feel there's... What do? I'tasimu billah. Grab a hold of Allah. Don't let go of Him. I'tasimu billah. Seek help from Him. I'tasimu billah. Then very nice words. Huwa mawlakum. He's your mawla. Mawla is a close friend that when you have a relationship of wilaya between one who is superior and one who is inferior, the one who is superior is caring and protecting and helping the one who is inferior. We are the inferior ones in this relationship of wilaya, those who accept wilayatullah. He's our mawla, he takes care of us, he's our guardian. Even when He commands us, it's His care. Otherwise, you could leave us, do whatever you want. I won't tell you what to do. He's commanding us for our good. That's part of His wilaya and guardianship. He's guarding us, keeping us on the right path, showing us the right path, telling us what to do and what not to do so that we remain on course and move in the right direction. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. And then it's very nice wording. فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى. What a good mawla. What a good mawla. What a good master. وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. And what a good helper. This is emphasizing that aspect. هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. Part of being the mawla is nusra, helping, assisting, granting victory. نِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. He's such a great helper. And that's the fact, that's the truth. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us embark on this journey. As many times as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, unfortunately, collectively, when we look at our state as mu'mineen that have been addressed by these verses, there are few of us that are striving, jahidu, that take that serious. Jahidu fillah haqqa jihadih. And this line here, wa'tasimu billah. When you do that jihad, you need to grab a hold of something. It's a serious struggle. It's a serious battle. I'tasimu billah. Huwa mawlakum. He's your Lord. He's your master. He's your guardian. He's the one that takes care of you. Such a great mawla and such a great helper. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us all, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah to help all of us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and most of our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all believers and all of us our hajat, our needs, especially our particular need that we pleaded to Him. And we will continue, inshallah, encourage all of us to keep praying for Sister Anna. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her full recovery, return her to her family sooner rather than later, without any side effects, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers worldwide and all of you and all of us all of the hajat that we have. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.